Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe that today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be part of. We hope to see you this Sunday morning here at City Life.
We're starting a new series, Losing Selfie. But before we get into that, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever prepared for a big party or kind of like a big celebration moment in life? Any of you party people? Some of you go all out, whether it's your kid's first birthday or, you know, whatever it is. You know, guys, you know, maybe you made a lot of plans for that proposal. The big night when you went all out asking her if she will marry you. Girls, maybe you went into all sorts of preparation mode for that big wedding day. Hello, girls. Yes, some of you. Guys, just to give you a little bit of a secret, girls are planning that day before they even start dating. Even if they're not dating, they have magazines and clippings and images, and there's all sorts of preparation. And, you know, maybe some of you students, some of you getting ready for grad, you're already thinking about how I'm going to celebrate grad. You're getting ready for grad. And, you know, this is kind of where we're headed with this new series. We're going to take a six-week journey preparing to get us ready for the biggest celebration of the year. Who knows what that celebration might be? Easter! Now, Easter actually is, contrary to popular opinion, see, some people think that Christmas is the big day of the church world. Actually, it's only that because the rest of the world figured out they could commercialize it. You know, the whole three kings bringing gifts. Somebody's like, oh, we can do something with that. We can get people to buy stuff and turn it into a huge thing. And it's going to be this big celebration. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. But Easter was actually the big celebration day for the church world for centuries. In fact, it was so big that before it became just an annual celebration, the early church celebrated it every week. That's how big it was. You're doing it right now. It's called getting together on Sunday. That's where Sunday gathering of Jesus followers actually came from. They were celebrating what happened on Easter Sunday. And that's why Easter is a big deal. And, you know, the reason Easter is such a big deal, it's not just that the early followers of Jesus were celebrating that Jesus rose from the dead. They actually weren't celebrating just that. They were celebrating what Jesus rising from the dead meant. That's what it meant. And his resurrection meant that God's kingdom really had come to earth. In other words, God's plan to make a new start here on earth, to making everything new, to bringing healing and restoring the earth, that had actually begun way ahead of time. And Jesus rising from the dead was a sign that God had really done that. So it wasn't just celebrating that Jesus rose from the dead. It was a celebration of why, what his rising from the dead meant. And so that's why Easter is such a big deal. That's why we get excited about it. And just like any celebration, you want to prepare so the whole thing isn't a flop, right? There's nothing worse than coming to a big day and everything, it's just like, oh gosh, this was a disaster. I wish we would have prepared more. Or, oh yeah, this didn't go off. It's, you know, we don't want to have that kind of disappointment. And so that's why this whole new series called Losing Selfie, Living Unselfied in a Selfie World. I think you need to say that. Say Losing Selfie, Living Unselfied in a Selfie World. We made up that word, unselfied. Can't you tell? It's probably not going to be in Webster. But, you know, that's what this new series, Losing Selfie, Living Unselfied in a Selfie World, is actually aiming for. We're preparing ourselves so that when Easter comes around, so we're actually in the right frame of mind, so that when the biggest day of the year comes, we actually can enjoy it. We're in the right frame of mind to actually enjoy the reality of what Easter is celebrating. Not just the day of Easter itself so that we can have a great lunch and enjoy our chocolate and the kids have fun looking for their Easter eggs, but so that we can experience the reality of what Easter actually means for us and what Jesus has actually done for the whole world and what his rising from the dead means. That's a reason to get excited. And that's why we get excited on Sunday mornings. That's why it's loud in here. It's because we don't want it loud just because we want it loud. It's like we actually believe that Jesus started something brand new. And if you actually have an understanding of that, you can't help but get excited. Come on. Somebody rises from the dead as a sign that God has started something brand new. There's a whole nother reality that you don't have to live by just the brokenness, just the disappointment, just the crazy stress of this world, that there actually is another reality you can live in now. That's good news. It is good news. There's no room for laid-back personalities when it comes to the good news. I'm serious. You get excited about something that transforms your world. You get excited about it. Now, even if you're not into Easter, even if you're not even sure if you believe all that stuff, and you're like, I'm not coming back. No. We hope you will, because even though you might not believe all that, over the next several weeks, there's actually going to be a lot of doing life better stuff that will help you. It really will. Because I think if we're all honest, let's be honest. How many of you have ever had selfie get you into trouble? Maybe your selfie actually did get you into trouble because you weren't paying attention to when you were taking a selfie. I'm sorry. How many of you have ever experienced yourself getting you into just a little bit of trouble, causing you just a little bit of problems? Maybe you said something you shouldn't because you really wanted to express your opinion, only to realize later nobody else could care less about your opinion, and your opinion actually was wrong. Anybody been there? Relationship conflicts. You know what? We all have a little bit too much selfie calling the shots, don't we? And so we could all benefit from living a little bit more unselfied. And, actually the church world for centuries, they had a name or they had a particular season for this type of dealing with selfie focused. And if you've grown up in a traditional church setting, you might be familiar with the word Lent. How many of you have heard of Lent? Some of you might have seen posts about Lent. Some of you might have grown up in a tradition very similar to the tradition I grew up in, where on Wednesday was a big day in the celebration, Ash Wednesday, and everybody shows up and they got black stuff on their forehead. And someone's like, where did that happen? But this whole season of Lent, it was for centuries, it was 40 days leading up to the celebration of Easter. And, the church kind of devolved it into a really somber, sad, melancholy time because everybody was giving up everything they liked and they were all depressed because they couldn't smoke, they couldn't drink, and they couldn't have their coffee. And they had to get rid of their chocolate. And so everybody's like miserable. That's actually not what Lent was. Lent was supposed to be it was supposed to be a celebration time where you're getting focused, you're preparing, and you're reflecting on what Easter meant. And it was about removing distractions, because that's what the whole fasting thing is actually about, removing distractions. And so the idea behind Lent was, you're not actually going to enjoy Easter to the full until you remove some of the soul clutter, I like to call it, or some of the distractions. So you don't just give up chocolate for Lent because you want to show God how, serious you are. Like, some of you want to do it because actually what happened was February or into February, beginning of March, when Lent kicked into gear, it was kind of like the restart for everybody's failed New Year's resolutions. Honestly, it was. It was like, well, let's give it again. I'm going to give up this time. But it was the whole history, the whole idea was that the purpose of the fasting was to remove distractions, to get rid of those things that just kind of cause so much clutter in our soul. I don't know about you, but I know one of the biggest distractions I deal with is the selfie part of me, where my wants, what I think is right, my desires, my opinions, all of that just becomes so, it clouds my perspective and it just distracts me from the fact that there's a bigger world around me. And you know what? We're so caught up in me, 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 and self, we can miss the opportunities around us to make a difference. We can actually miss the opportunities to recognize, hey, you know what? Your problem's big, but there's always going to be someone with a bigger problem. Isn't that true? And so this series, we're exploring what it looks like to fast self or lose selfie. That's what the whole idea is. Well, what does it look like to lose self? And we're looking at, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some dynamics of self that our world has actually taught us this is good, but actually it's not. And so we're going to discover ways of how fasting self can actually make our relationships stronger, how we can become more resilient so that when life throws you a curveball, we can bounce back instead of being overwhelmed by it. We're going to look at, we're going to discover who we actually are and what life is actually real about and have a clear understanding of what our purpose really is. And that's where we're going. And because we don't, you know, this whole idea of self was actually, self thing was not part of God's original intention for human beings. Did you know that? Self was not part of God's original intention for humans. And when I'm talking about self, I'm talking about the me first part of self. Me, 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 my, I, my, me, 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 me. See, God never created humans to think me first. Every time we think about ourselves first and foremost, how is this going to affect me? Versus our perspective of how is this going to reflect God? How is this? Every time we think me first, we're actually acting inhuman. We're acting contrary to how God created human beings. God never created humans to think me first. He created human beings to reflect him, to reflect his glory, to reflect his beauty, to reflect his awesomeness, his greatness, his wisdom, his understanding. And as partners with him, we would reflect that, his beauty, and we would work with him to build and beautify an unpacked creation to cause it to flourish and become all that God intended his creation to be. However, when the first two humans chose self instead of God, they broke everything. See, instead of being mirrors reflecting God, they wanted to be God. And they not only broke the whole world, they created what would become like a genetic defect in the human soul. I'm going to say that again so you can get it. When the first two humans chose self instead of God, when they chose self instead of being mirrors to reflect God, when they chose they wanted to be God, they broke the whole world and they released what would become a genetic defect in the human soul. So instead of being conscious of God and his love first, humans became ruled and consumed by me first. Self. You might have heard this referred to differently by a little word called sin. And some of you don't like that word, and you're like, oh, I'm going to preach on sin again. I come to church, and all I do is preach on sin. And you know what? Here's the thing. Sin's bad, but too often we associate sin with the bad stuff we do. It's actually not what the word sin means. The word sin, it means to miss the mark. In other words, God's standard for humanity was that we would reflect him. But when we chose self, we now miss the mark of who we're supposed to be as humans. And see, sometimes we miss the mark because of bad stuff we do. Punching your brother is not good. Flicking off your boss behind his back is not good. Not good. But sometimes we miss the mark by good stuff we do. Whenever we put self first, and sometimes things that can look really good are actually missing the mark of God's intended purpose for us as human beings. And see, we miss the mark in that on our own, we're incapable of reflecting, as true human beings, we are incapable of naturally choosing God first. We're incapable of, as human beings, of naturally reflecting God's greatness and God's awesomeness into his creation. Instead, we reflect self. And here's the problem. Creation doesn't work when man reflects himself into it. How many of you have discovered that relationships don't work when you reflect yourself into it and what you want over the other person? Some of you have been on the receiving end of a relationship with a parent, with a spouse, with a friend. And you know what that pain is and what that disappointment is when that other person reflect themselves into the relationship over and above you. Creation was never designed to work by man reflecting himself into it. Our wants, our desires, what we think should work best. See, creation only works when God is reflected into it. When God's idea of what marriage looks like, when that's reflected into a marriage, that's what makes a marriage flourish. When God's idea of how creation works and the natural function of our world and how to actually mine resources so we don't destroy the world, that's how our world works. And then we don't have to have lobbying for certain political parties to get in and try to change things. It's like if we just had God's wisdom reflecting into creation, how do you have great friendships? Well, it's when you understand God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's kindness. That's when we reflect that into friendships. Man, that's what causes friendships to flourish. Creation only works when God is reflected into it. And so losing selfie or fasting selfie is about removing this distraction of self that gets in our way. But it's also, losing selfie is also to remind us of another reality that came about through Easter, and it's this. It's the reality in which our broken, sin-filled selfie selves actually died on the cross with Jesus. I want to look at Galatians 5:24. In the Passion Version, Galatians 5:24, it says, "Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion. For everything..." See, this is actually what's so exciting about baptism. Because baptism is what we do to show we're identifying with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's the symbol that I have identified with Jesus Christ. That's why baptism is so powerful. You know what? Even if you've never been baptized, you don't need to get your face in that video. You need to come back next service. You can get baptized today. You know what? You can just jump in. There's others that are jumping in, but we've got everything that you need. Come back and get baptized. But look at this. "We who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah." In other words, everything connected with our selfie life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. Isn't that powerful? But it doesn't stop there. The second part, 2 Corinthians 5:19. "God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start." That's what new creation life is. God, through Jesus' death, gave the world a fresh start. It was like a reboot. It's like God came and hit the great big reset button on creation. So everything that was going, you know when your computer doesn't work? It gets jammed. There's a virus in it if you have a PC. Or if there's other problems and you haven't updated your operating system for like 10 different, you know, it was 10 updates ago. And your computer crashes, you got to hit the reset button so it starts working right. That's in essence what God did on the cross through Jesus Christ. Something so much greater than that. And when Jesus rose from the dead, it was a sign that God had hit reset and everything was starting to reboot. We live in the reboot. Look at the person beside you and say, "You live in the reboot." You live in the reboot. God was giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. See, because of Jesus, this is what's gone on. The selfie part of humanity was put on the cross with Jesus Christ, put in the tank of baptism, died with Christ on the cross. When Jesus rose up, he showed that there is now a new reality. There is a different reality you get to live in, except we can look around and we can say, "Really? The world is still a mess. What Jesus did was about 2,000 years ago, and I look around and the world still seems very broken, very messed up, very screwed up. This isn't right. This isn't right. Man, this is so wrong. This is not right. And we can look around and say, really? Things are different? The planet is still a wreck? Can we actually see that something's different? I want to say, yeah. There is a way. There is a key. I'm going to show you how you can actually see this new thing that God has done. And not just see it, but how you can actually experience the power and the reality of it in your everyday life. You're going to sleep. You're getting up. You're eating breakfast. You're going to school, going to work, coming home, going to soccer, going to hockey, going to gymnastics, going to whatever you're doing. How in every part of your life you can see and experience the power of this new creation life that Jesus started. And I want to show you, it's found. The key is found in a word that you have probably heard of and probably have avoided because it's another word that's got a bad rap. It has been misappropriated in the church world. And if you have experienced a misappropriation of this word, I sincerely apologize. Because it's not right. But you know what? My hope is after today, you're going to get excited about this word. And you're going to run to it. Do you think there could actually be a word that could create that kind of response in you? Maybe. Here we go. To start, I'm going to tell you a story. From the life-changing book called Green Eggs and Ham by the Reverend Dr. Seuss. How many of you are familiar with Green Eggs and Ham? How many of you have read this book so many times you could almost quote it word for word? Oh, Sam, I am. Would you like green eggs and ham? Oh, I would not like them, Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? I would not like them anywhere. I would not like them with a mouse. I would not like them in a house. How many of the others? I would not like them in a box. I would not like them. I would not like them in the dark, not in a tree, not in a car. You let me be. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them. Oh, good. On a train. I would not with a boat. I would not with a goat. Very good. You all listen. And if you've never read Green Eggs and Ham, seriously, this is life changing. But then what happens? He tries them. He finally breaks down. He's like, enough. All right. Like, will you like flip and shut up and I'll just try them if you let me alone if I try your stupid green eggs and ham. And lo and behold, he tries them and he discovers, I love them. I will eat them here or there. I will eat them with a goat. I will eat them on a boat. I will eat them everywhere. I'm not going to go through it again because it'll be stuck in our heads like it's a small world. But you know what's so amazing about green eggs and ham? Here's the word that it's such a great picture of. It's a word, repentance. It's a word, repentance. See, repentance is how we experience the reality of what Jesus Christ has made possible, God's new creation. See, the word, when he talked about new creation, look at how he described how we experience the reality of new creation. And when Jesus was talking about God's new creation reality, he used a phrase called the kingdom of God. And in Mark 1:15, this was what Jesus came declaring. And I'm going to give you a completely different side of repentance that you've never heard before. And like I said, it's a word you've avoided. It's a word you've avoided, church, because they repent, and it's been misused. It's been used in a wrong way. But in Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God, or new creation, is at hand. Repent and believe in this good news. That's what the gospel is. Repent and believe there's a new way of living and experience in reality. How do we experience a new thing God's doing? We repent. But like I said, stay with me, because it's not what you probably think. Repentance isn't saying I'm sorry 1,000 times because I messed up. Repentance isn't beating myself up because I'm such a terrible, horrible person. Repent, in the original word, in the original language, Greek, metanoio, it means this. It literally means to think differently. It means you had knowledge about something only to get new knowledge. In other words, I had knowledge about something. Green eggs and ham are terrible. I discover new knowledge. Oh, these taste amazing. And I repent or think differently or change my opinion about green eggs and ham. I love them. Oh, this is awesome. That's what the word means. It means to think differently. So let's bring this home. What does this mean for us? Something has happened. The cross of Jesus Christ has broken the curse over creation. So the human condition called self was put to death on the cross with Jesus. There is a new reality. Jesus rose from the dead, which means selfie is not in control anymore. Jesus is. That is the new reality. Self isn't running around, calling the shots, making a mess of life, making a mess of relationships. Self is brought under control. And we've been invited now because of a new reality to think differently. Repentance isn't something we do because we're bad. Repentance is the way we live because we've been set free. There is such a difference. See, some of you are praying and praying and begging God to do something when the key is thinking differently about the reality that you're living in. Repentance is a new way of thinking about reality. See, we've been set free. We've been set free from selfie thinking. In other words, I don't have to keep thinking in ways where self is calling the shots and self is telling me you deserve this and self is telling me you better and you better and you're better. No, self has been put into the grave. And thinking differently is the decision we make every day to agree with, yep, that's where self is. I'm going to show you practically in just a minute how we do this. But it's repentance is a new way of thinking about reality. In other words, I think differently about who I am. This is a reality. I'm going to go through these verses quickly. Hopefully they're in the YouVersion notes. You can jump on and look at them later. But who I am in light of what Jesus has done, in light of his death. In Galatians 4:6, Paul says, you are not a slave, but a child. What is the reality of my life? I am not a slave, but a child. Colossians 1:22, through the death of Christ, it says, you are holy and blameless as you stand before God without a single fault. That is a reality that God sees me because of Jesus Christ's death. Ephesians 2:19, you're no longer outcast, but you're brought into the family. I think differently about who I am. I also think differently about the reality of my life. Romans 6:11 says, you are dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 6:18, you are free to serve a different master, God's redeeming justice. I don't need to serve self anymore. That just keeps getting me into trouble. Romans 7:4, you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. You are fully accepted by God. That's what Romans 8:10 says. So how does this practically work? Well, when I go through my day, which maybe this happens to you, but when I start getting bombarded with thoughts that are fear-related, anxiety, worry, stress, guilt, shame, condemnation, negativity. When those thoughts, anybody else have problems with this stuff during the day? What do you do? And you're just like, why am I such a horrible person? That's not thinking differently. But what happens when those thoughts come in, all of a sudden, I remind myself, I can think differently about these thoughts. Any thoughts that don't reflect the character and the nature of God and God's new creation kingdom, anything that doesn't reflect that, I can say, you know what? Those thoughts, that's not my reality. Because my reality, because of Jesus, I have been raised with Christ. I am free through Jesus Christ. Those thoughts of fear and anxiety, those aren't my reality. You know what's defining my reality? The reality of Jesus Christ and new creation life that says I'm a child. I have been set free. I have been made whole and holy in God because of Jesus Christ. And I say, you know what? That reality is a defining reality over my life. Fear, you're not the defining reality over my life. Negativity, you're not the defining reality over my life. Positive, faith-filled, joy, peace, comfort, expectation, hope. That's a defining reality of my life. What am I doing? I'm repenting. I'm thinking differently about the reality of my life. And I can honestly tell you, this is a new revelation for me in probably about the last 6 to 8 months. And I can tell you, every single time I start praying that way, I start grabbing my thoughts and thinking that way, I can tell you within less than an hour, all of a sudden, things lift. Things change. I've seen circumstances, even this week, again, it was like a flood coming in and I was like, wait a minute, nope. Within less than 24 hours, a situation had totally changed around that I was getting stressed about. It works. What else? Repentance is thinking different about self. Galatians 5:24. Again, keep in mind, we who belong to Jesus, the anointed one, have already experienced crucifixion. That's a benefit of getting baptized. That's what it means when we've experienced a benefit. We've experienced a crucifixion. For everything connected with our selfie life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Messiah. So I'm going to say a few things that might be like, this is so different than my schooling. This is so different than what I've been raised to believe. And I want to just invite you to please just maybe lean into it, embrace a new way of thinking about self. See, whatever leads us to think more about self, anything that leads us to think more about me or our performance is actually leading us away from the true human beings God created us to be. Totally opposite than our world. Why is our world so broken? Because the trumpet in our world is you first. You first. You do you. I do me. See, because what Jesus modeled about being a true human, that's what he did. Jesus modeled what a true human looks like. And what he modeled was that a true human's life is focused on God and others. See, the gospel is the least self-focused news that there is. And any attitudes of watch out for number one, just do your own thing. I need to do what's right for me. I need to focus on myself. And I'm even going to say it, the whole self-care thing, you know what? That's actually not a reflection of the life that Jesus modeled. Anything that puts self first. This isn't we become a doormat. But it's recognizing, God, you're first. Matthew 16:25, look at what Jesus said. Self-help is no help at all. It kind of flies in the face of everything we've been raised and taught to believe in our society, isn't it? Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. Everything about the gospel is denying self in order to let the real me live. See, this isn't being careless with ourselves. It's trusting God and saying, God, what is reflecting you going to look like in my life in this situation? What is reflecting you? Do I just put up the boundaries? Or do I forgive? I think there's a place for both, but I think too often we just put up the wall. I've got to protect myself. And we actually don't release forgiveness. I know I'm saying some hard stuff. The gospel is about dying to self and about living for someone, not yourself. Serving someone, not yourself. It's about selfless living. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could get a get out of jail free card and go about our self-directed lives. He died on the cross so that he could continue to live through those who would say, I'm willing to die to myself, Jesus, and I'm willing to let your selfless life somehow in some way live through me to reach a broken world that doesn't yet know you, who's broken, who's aimless. Matthew 16:25, for if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you'll continually discover true life. Man, what would your school look like if you lived this way? You think, oh, I'm just one person, or there's just two of us. It's like, man, that's how the world was changed. You know, the entire world was turned upside down by 12 people who lived this way through the power of Jesus Christ. I think maybe one or two of you could turn a school upside down. Losing selfie starts with thinking differently. We believe the story of new reality, that in Christ, God's new creation has begun. That we can live new life, that new life has overtaken death, that forgiveness has replaced judgment, and humans can now start to live like true humans, reflecting God, reflecting his goodness, reflecting his beauty, reflecting his forgiveness, reflecting his grace. Man, what could your home, what could your school, what could your workplace look like? What could your hockey team look like? Man, talk about a place in need of transformation. God, what could our world look like if we could actually live this way? Let's stand. I want to pray. There's no way we can actually do this. It's completely impossible. Except for the power of Jesus Christ enabling us with his divine power, enabling us with his divine strength, enabling us with his grace to do what we can't do in ourselves. I mean, you know what? There was a reason why when Jesus started talking about sacrifice, where a whole bunch of people exited from following him. They're just like, this is just too hard. This is too hard. We can't do this. There was a reason. But the ones who were willing to say, oh God, what does this mean? Okay, we don't go now. We're going to try. They changed the world. Is forever different because of them. And I can't help but get excited to think, what could our world look like in 50 years from now if we as the church could really get this and live this? If we could recognize, oh man, is my thinking about me, or am I actually thinking about what Jesus has done? And who's that person at work that needs a smile and, hey, how you doing? God, thank you that you came to us when we were running around doing our own thing. God, we were like a whole bunch of two-year-olds doing everything and running out into traffic. But God, you came and you said, I'm going to take care of the mess. And God, we are forever thankful for that. God, we're so thankful that self was the last thing on your mind. And that enabled you to endure what we could never, ever, ever live out on our own. And God, we are so thankful for the cross. God, we are so thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus. God, we are so thankful that you didn't just say, let's start all over and the world's a mess. Let's send another flood. God, we're so thankful that you got into the mess. You got into the thick of it to rescue us. And God, we are so thankful for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that the cross was for us. We're thankful that we don't have to live consumed by self anymore, but God, we can live in the new reality of life, the life of new creation. Father, the life of new creation that is fueled by your power, your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy, your kindness, your hope, your joy, your peace, your strength, your power. God, we thank you for that. And church, I want to invite you, if you've never said yes to following Jesus, or maybe the life you've been living, you thought, man, I thought I was doing the good thing, but you're recognizing there is a measure of sacrifice needed to say yes to be a follower of Jesus. You know what? We're going to pray a prayer together saying yes to him. And this is what you're wanting. You know what? This is how the words go. It's simple like this. Jesus, thank you. Let's pray this together. For everything that you've done through the cross, and your sacrifice for me, and the resurrection that started something brand new. I say yes to the reality of new creation being the defining reality over my life. Even though I don't see it, God, I trust you that it's real. And I thank you for its transforming work in and through me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you. God, we thank you for your power and your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. And we look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.